This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IP Livecast. Rest in peace, Blake Harrison. A true legend, in music, and in life. You will be missed. Our IP Livecast starts now.
Now. R.I.P. Blake, we're very, very, very disappointed. With like cancer. We're upset with cancer. Not with Blake, I want to be clear.
You were disappointed with the length of his life? You didn't try hard enough?
No, that's not what I mean.
Damn, Rob.
I mean, I am disappointed by the length of his life, but not because of him.
Yeah.
He would have appreciated this beginning. This
it's true.
For the show. Very funny guy. You know, the thing I remember the most about him, about Blake, was I feel like it was the first instance of like a, you know, I mean, in some sense, a celebrity. I mean, it's not Tom Hanks, but he's a well-known, you know, in a well-known band. And he was like a devotee of our show. Like he knew all of our memes and he listened to it religiously.
So he was a weekly listener for years, for sure. And then he kind of checked out as one is wont to do.
We've had that happen a couple of times over the years, but that was the first time I really remember someone being that into it, which was great. Very gratifying.
He sat in on the show. He did some video stuff for us that we'll show later on.
He was like participating in memes while he was on the show. Like,
yeah, when I would see him at Pig Destroyer shows, he would just come up to me and be like, dude, how's Shlomo? What's he doing? What's up? He was so into Shlomo, I remember. That, as we all were.
Again, reunited.
Shlomo's still alive, Sid.
I haven't seen him. I don't know.
I mean, the version that we knew is probably dead, but
it's dead to me.
The human being is alive.
I mean,
of course.
Sid's world extends to his four walls. So if someone's outside of that, they're dead.
It's true.
That's fair.
If he sees us on the video stream or something.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't. Me and Shlomo haven't had a Zoom session in quite some time, so I don't know what's going on with him.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like he's partying.
Yeah.
He does not have kids. We're friends on Facebook, so I occasionally see a life update from him, and he is not.
All right.
What are the
currently in a relationship?
If it's not children being born,
they're just like links to random, you know, a political story.
Well, maybe he just doesn't post personal stuff on his Facebook. Maybe that's just for him and his wife and three children.
He had them before Rob started following.
Yeah.
So
his last post was in November at AnimeCon. He just has photos of people at AnimeCon. And he politely, for most of them, I don't know if intentionally or not, but cut off the heads on the photos.
Those just bodies?
Just the outfits.
It's just bad photography.
It might just be bad photography because there's another gallery where his head is. Yeah, I think it's just that.
I seem to remember also.
Because there's photos of him later on that also have his head cut off.
So what?
It might just be like a cropping issue.
But then, it's not him taking those pictures, right? So it's
the it's same just like when he uploads them, he's accidentally cropping or something like that.
What?
I seem to remember him like renouncing his earlier extreme right-wing religious views and being sort of an anti-Zionist. Am I remembering that correctly?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he was anti-Zionist or not, but he definitely was pushing back. Definitely not an anti-Zionist because there's a status update from 2021 currently in Jerusalem. So,
well, just because you go there, you might have family there. That doesn't mean anything,
especially him.
Okay, that's fair. But he was pushing back at like right wing talking points.
Okay,
he went to see the China Clan.
Yeah.
Here's another random status update from 2018. Barbara Bush taught me it was okay to be weird.
It was okay to be weird. But no, I heard you. I'm just wondering what that's a reference to.
I don't know.
I can't even speak to it. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, by the way, guys, this is a great tribute to Blake.
I was just going to say he would love this. He would love learning all about Shlomo. I did want to play this little clip.
I think so.
An old behind-the-scenes clip from 10 years ago, which is crazy that this was 10 years ago.
Rava, Mama Rava, Mama Rava.
Mama Rava, Mama Rava.
Why did you do this?
Because it was a short clip.
So where was that?
That was at St. Vitus in like the,
oh, man,
the basement.
Well, who lasted longer, Blake or St. Vitus?
Hey, it's our first time. Well, St. Vitus still exists. It just doesn't, it has to update their permits, I believe.
Oh, okay.
They're not getting shut down.
I'd trade eight St. Vitus's for one Blake.
Sure.
But close down all the St. Vitus style venues.
Oh.
Said, be careful what you wish for. That means there's at least eight St. Vitus's in the world.
Oh, I'm sure.
What's going on here? What's wrong with it? How dare you? How dare you besmirch the name of one of the best venues in New York?
I was just playing along with Sid's framework.
One of, meaning there are other best venues. How many other Blakes are there?
Oh, no, absolutely. Oh, I would. I would. For Blake to be back, sure. But this is nothing. Most things I would trade for Blake to be back.
What are things you would not trade to bring back Blake?
I mean, the lives of family members, probably, I wouldn't trade. I'm sorry, Blake.
How dare you?
That's a Sophie's choice, but...
Well, I think this is going to be, for today, this is going to be the new which wrestler would you fuck. It's going to be who would you rather see die, this person or that person.
Wait, what if we do who would Rob not fuck to get Blake back?
Wait,
this has gone down a very weird path very quickly. And as much as I think Blake may have enjoyed this, I do not feel comfortable.
Danny DeVito.
Oh, wait, I would not fuck him to bring Blake back. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, how about this? Blake comes back, but your sister has to get one foot amputated.
What?
She's alive.
Yeah.
I'm not involving my sister in this.
Involved your sister.
You could explain it to her.
I refuse the concept.
Wow. So you'd rather your sister have all 10 toes than Blake be alive.
That's one pinky. Up. Let's reduce it to one pinky.
I will not acknowledge the question.
I mean, your non-answer is all the answer we need.
What if she just loses a pinky toe and never knows it's connected to a choice you made?
Yeah.
It just happens that the person who makes this magical deal makes it happen so that she has some kind of accident removing her toe.
Rob's not playing the game.
I refuse the question.
Okay. All right.
One, man, you love your sister.
I would sacrifice your sister's toe for Blake. You don't have to do it.
Well, you don't have the emotional connection.
I like her.
Darren, how much of Rob's sister would you sacrifice to bring Blake back?
I don't think more. What nothing, would be left? Nothing that she needs to, like, function. I mean, a toe, you know.
This reminds me of this excellent TikTok video that I recently saw. That I'd like to share.
You're milking all this TikTok before.
It's very relevant.
Shut down in our country.
LGBTQ rights or economic stability? Why can't you have both? You need to pick one. I refuse the question. You can't refuse the question. I did. No, you can't. But I did. But you need to pick one. No, I don't. I just said you did. So what? Pick one.
Doesn't this guy look like a fucking, I don't know, like a Beavis and Butthead character? You're right. They both do. I mean, look at these profiles. Like this guy with the sandals.
These
open toe sandals.
They're not real people. This is a bit.
This is not a bit. The interviewer. This is his like trolly TikTok account. He has plenty of other ones.
And
he
just, or he's what is what's his?
He's just. I think he's more just a contrarian. He's more contrarian than right wing.
I was trying to figure out what the angle is here. Like, who's arguing what?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is like a gotcha that, you know, like LGBT rights is like a dumb issue. I think that's like intent of the interview question.
I need more information. What does economic stability mean?
It's a dumb thing. It's just a dumb catch, you know, way to catch people on TikTok.
LGBTQ rights seem like an actual thing that can be achieved. Economic stability seems like a figment of someone's imagination. So,
well, I think they're saying the first, my first reaction was, would you give up LGBTQ rights by voting for Trump and he'll lower your taxes? That was like the first.
But I don't think that way everybody would just tell him to fuck off.
But also that framework doesn't even really work because, like, is anything going to get better or worse under either of these two guys? Like,
you guys are overanalyzing here. You're overanalyzing.
Right. That's why. Well, that's why I'm saying that's why I abandoned it because I don't think that's what the guy's saying.
He's just trying to get troll.
But you can't. But I did. But you need to pick one. No, I don't. I just said you did.
Is this set up, though, like on the, with this guy?
No, I don't think so.
Because they're both doable. No, only one. I don't have to pick one because you can have both. But the answer is that both is not an answer. It's not a valid answer. I reject your question. You can't reject it. I just did. Can you pick one? I don't have to. Why? Because they're both completely doable. So LGBTQ rights or economic stability? Both. That's not an answer. Yes, it is. LGBTQ rights or economic stability?
Both. Oh, I feel myself getting dumber watching this.
I'm just wondering which one you like more.
This is like a 99-cent store Klosterman question. And this question.
Exactly.
Why are you trolling me right now?
It's and like, I love that the troll is the one. I do admire that the troll is the one getting angry here. Like, like he can't handle getting his own game pushed back at him.
But he aired it.
Well, sure, he'll take. He'll make the money.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And also,
it was written by Logan Paul.
Also, exactly. Yeah, and I'm sure that he thought he was the funny one here. Like this guy, he thought that. That the heel of the video is this hero that we're looking at currently with the Bluetooth with speaker.
This belongs in the same category as Andrew Tate. Would you fuck Megan Fox with a cock or Hulk Hogan with a pussy?
Oh, yes. Yes. What a great.
I actually think that one has more of a point than
that. That one is exactly. Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you there. That one actually, that one is a feasible comparison. How do you compare these two things? So yeah, wonderful, wonderful stuff.
You want to give that guy credit? Give him, give his name out so all our fans can be his fans of his.
No, definitely not.
It's Adam Levine on malnutrition.
Do we know where that was shot? It looks maybe like Union Square, but maybe not New York at all. Or
no, it doesn't look like it's New York. It just it looks like a campus. Yeah. Here's a little more of the video.
Oh.
Because I don't have to choose. All right. What if I had to ask you gender inclusivity or economic stability? You can have both. You can't. Why make this so difficult? I'm trying to.
Also, look at it. First off, look at his fucking shirt. My pronouns are find Jesus. Ugh, get a joke.
I also want to clarify something. I botched my joke. I meant Adam Devine, not Adam.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Sorry.
Fair.
Early morning brain fog.
Oh, we're gonna watch the RuPaul.
Do a little lip sync.
Yeah. Also, I feel like gender inclusivity LGBT. Is a factor that could lead to economic stability.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know that those are mutually exclusive at all. Like a kid doesn't. He just found some words on some website.
Yeah, it sounds like he stumbled into some argument where there was some more nuanced discussion of this thing, and he just took two words out of it and made a troll video.
Yeah, pretty much. And it worked, because here we go.
Well.
Talking about it. Thanks, Rob.
Wow, how stupid it is.
You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, this man, this man is a hero.
Which man? Oh.
How many likes does that have?
The hero is the man.
Okay.
Like, I love these become a meme.
How many likes did that video have?
Oh, I'm not. This was like a repost on YouTube that I found. Okay. It wasn't the original, but it went quite viral for a while.
Oh, somehow escaped my viewing.
It's weird because you're so down with the youth culture, Darren. How did it get past you?
I mean, yes.
That seems like
no, Rob.
Sarcasm coming from Rob. What are you? Why are you firing?
Oh no, Aaron? It was just a callback to like a few weeks ago where we were joking about who knew the more Gen
Were we joking? It got pretty heated.
Slang. Yeah, I think I was joking, and Rob started getting very angry.
Really? Because you were the one that got angry, Darren. Do you understand me? You were the one that got angry. I wasn't angry. I was just joking. Just like now,
you brought it up a month later.
What? Am I raising my voice? Yeah, you've never brought something up a month later. Just joking about it. What, Darren?
Not to pick on you.
Oh, to pick on Sid? To pick on Sid?
I don't think I'd pick on either of you. I'm very nice to both of you.
Oh, okay.
We pick on lots of other stuff on this show.
I'll bring that. I'm sure I'll bring that up in a month, too, and then you'll talk about how angry I am. When you're picking on me.
Hey.
That's right. Gloves are off, baby. It's March Madness.
Okay. Okay, BJJ guy. That's a different sport. Boxing.
I know. I'm just experiencing madness. I'm experiencing some personal psychotic madness in March. It's my own personal March Madness.
Who's your pick? Who's going to win March Madness, Rob?
Duke.
All right, fair.
Gonzaga. I just like
that. I actually think Brooklyn they're not College. Good this year.
Who, Gonzaga?
Yeah. I think it might ranked, be a down season for them. They're probably, let's see.
They're number 24.
Okay, yeah, see, for them, that's not that good.
But you got to be in it to win it.
It's true. So Rob picks Duke. Darren picks Gonzaga.
I don't really pick them. I just like the name Gonzaga.
It's a nice
I like them because it sounds like Dookie. Dookie, which actually plays into our Patreon watch along that we just posted yesterday. We watched the infamous first movie headlined by Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred, which I loved as a kid. It was one of the first movies I saw in the theater. And rewatching it now, I did not love it. and it's really like it's like finding a treat that you loved as a kid, but as an adult, where your palate is so much more refined, and it exposes how terrible the thing you thought you enjoyed actually was.
I think I had that same thing happen to me with The Ultimate Warrior. I think when The Ultimate Warrior was around wrestling, I was like, he's the best shit ever. Yep. And that lasted into my mid to late teens, I would say. But he was still really good. And it wasn't until I became my 20s and 30s that I looked back and I was like, I think when he went to WCW. That's when I realized, and I said, wow, this sucks. He's old. And then something clicked. And I was like, he's not really doing anything different.
Yeah.
What about when he came back for WrestleMania 12? Were you hyped for that? I was really hyped.
I was very hyped for that. And I was like, I think I was savvy enough to say like, well, I knew he wasn't a great wrestler, but he does enough well to make the match good. And he's just got a crazy personality and he's interesting.
Yeah.
But that doesn't hold water anymore today. Yeah, I feel like I see it differently now.
Agreed. Well, you know who else sees it differently now is Hulk Hogan, because he has found the Lord. He is willing to take a three count from the Lord Jesus Christ
himself. Well, is that new? He always wore that stupid chain.
That's a good point. He did always wear the cross, but I think he's like a born again Christian now because of his new girlfriend. Isn't his new girlfriend a Scientologist? Wasn't that what the rumor was? That she's trying to recruit him into Scientology?
I mean, she was his new girlfriend when we first talked about it like 2 years ago.
Oh, that's a good point. But I do feel like he recently came out as like born again. Like right now, he's like very on the God brand. I guess it might also have to do with being labeled properly, so I would say, a racist, and this is like his image recovery after that video leaked where he said awful, awful things about black people. And so Dusty Rhodes Muffler, he never actually said that. That was,
I know. I'm
this is this is Mandela effect here.
I know. Because, speaking it into existence.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler shared this video. He was on some religious channel, and I didn't even watch this video because I wanted to dissect every second of it with you guys. It's 6 minutes. I'm so excited to watch this. Hulk Hogan is wearing his formal bandana, which is his black bandana.
It's so it's so ridiculous because you're not even kidding. That really is what he sees that.
And he's wearing a John 3:16 shirt.
It would have been great if he had like a parody Austin 3:16 with the same
font. Yeah,
I thought he was being clever, not realizing that that's where Austin 3:16 came
from. Completely a different design as well. It's a serif font. There's a cross in the between the words John and the numbers 3:16,
right. Like made and out of nails too, to really hammer home the point.
I see. I was like, what? It looked like two T's to me, but you're right, they're just nails in the formation of a cross.
Ugh, gruesome.
And then the caption, devotional team equals believe. I don't understand. And
look, the time running time is 6:06. Just two thirds of the devil.
Mm. Well, let's hear what the huckster has to say.
I was always a believer, but I didn't completely surrender. I thought I could drive better than he could. I thought I could make the decision.
I was always a believer, but I always put myself ahead of the Lord, like the Bible says. Like, I always do better.
I thought I could drive better than Jesus, dude.
Oh, no.
He doesn't even use hand signals, brother.
I thought I could drive better than he could. I thought I could make the decisions better than he could. And, you know, he takes his hands off the wheel and says, okay, you think you can do it better?
Go ahead
and
do it. You're driving.
Like I said, again.
He's driving with his knees.
Why would Jesus take his hands off the wheel? Also, is that implying that anytime we're driving, Jesus has his hand on the wheel with us, like in every car? So then the people that get into accidents, what about the people that get into accidents? Are those non-believers?
They needed a wake-up call.
Jesus took his hand off the wheel.
They thought they could drive by themselves.
I know Jesus wasn't driving his son's car. I guess he's saying Jesus is not a great driver, so I don't know.
Is that a new tattoo on Hogan's arm?
He's had it for a while now.
It's a chicken parm recipe.
Said I get tired of crashing and burning, and at this point, with that 40-year career behind me and that whole platform, I understand now that was just a temporary situation to set me up for this next run. Because in the wrestling business, everything's a run.
Oh, is he coming?
No, it's not. No. His next run is with Jesus. Is for Jesus Mania, not wrestling. Everything's a run, you know. Like, even I love that he's using insider wrestling terms. Even on this, like, even religion, he has to frame within the concept of pro wrestling, like exposing that it is wrestling, in fact, that is his religion, not Jesus.
Yeah. My whole life before Jesus was a gimmick, dude, but now I'm a total mark for Jesus, brother.
Everything's a run, you know. I can't get it. Let me go. Let's
he went up on that cross and bleeded for all of us. His face was a crimson.
Jesus gigged for your sins, brother.
Fucking carnage.
The Romans, the Romans didn't nail him to the cross. Jesus did it himself.
It was a work, brother. Shoot, dude.
Jesus worked himself into a shoot, dude.
Is he, in that side point, am I imagining things? So he's starting to look a little bit like Ric Flair. I feel like
very old.
They're the only two people in the industry who aren't hated by, like, they're the only people who don't hate those two people. Like, they found a way to be friends over their bonding of everyone else in the world hating them. So I feel like they're a married couple almost, and they're taking on each other's traits.
I could see it. They always hang out now. Yeah, it's so funny because they were bitter rivals, I feel, in the 80s and 90s. And especially in the late 90s when they were both under WCW. And somehow, after all of that, I think Hogan just realized it was in his best interest to apologize to Flair. And ever since, they've been the best of friends. Like, well, that's all Flair needs to hear is just like, hey, you were the better wrestler. Thank you. Let's be friends.
But also, like, who else in their age range that's still alive can relate to their life experience.
Well, first that's of all, true. Who else made it through a wrestling career and reached their age?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There have existed other people that could relate, but they're all dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're the only two left. Like, who else can they talk to about the weird shit that they've been through in our going?
It is interesting that, like, Hulk Hogan is not doing, and I guess he can't. He has a tainted brand, but, like, he's not doing energy drinks or.
Wasn't there something a weed brand, like a weed strain or something within the
last? Oh, that's right. He did CBD stuff. You're right. Yeah. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I was like, how is he not hawking his name on anything?
And that's where we got that great Andre video, which he was very popular. Like, he starts blaming all his injuries on Andre the Giant.
Body slam.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
But Andre can't.
CBD finally helped him.
Hogan's also like hawking bikini competitions at bars.
Yeah. He's way that's more right. local. He loves those karaoke contests.
What else is his jerk
off? First situation to set me up for this next run.
This next run.
Because in the wrestling business, everything's a run. You know, how long
run away from you? Guy?
4 or 5 years, like some guys. Or how long did your career last? 2 or 3 years? Well, mine lasted almost 40 years.
Mine lasted. I that said that word, dude.
Well,
I'm getting ready to start this new run.
I'm ready to start this new run, so brother.
Now I realize why I'm here and why all that happened.
Did you feel?
Now I realize that I had to say those racist things to get here to this point. Right. You know, I had to. Just,
wanted me to be a racist on a microphone on a hot mic.
God's presence at all?
Did Jesus he feel distant? Set me up to do a sex tape with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife?
Yeah, did God feel distant when you were fucking your friend's wife?
I was just going to say, this is my favorite fucking question to ask, like, a repentant sinner of, like, oh, was it that just God wasn't, isn't God ever present? Isn't he, like, everywhere at once? You know, like, right. How could he be distant from you? He's right there looking at you, judging you.
Well, maybe
motherfucker's the biggest gossip.
You were distant from him.
Right.
He was always there waiting, but he had to watch you make your mistakes before you realized you needed to come back to him.
Jesus was on the end of the bed eating the other half of that chicken palm.
That's why there were two sets of bite marks. It's like the footprints on the beach.
There's one set of footprints. That's where Jesus was glommed down the rest of the sandwich.
I don't know why, but
tramping that sandwich with Jesus.
I don't know why, but for some reason, like what you were saying of Jesus sitting on the other edge of the bed eating the chicken parm reminded me of this meme, this like painting of a guy shooting heroin into his arm, which is also Jesus's arm.
Jesus has the tribal tattoo?
Well, no, the tribal tattoo is the human man's arm. But like by injecting himself with heroin, he is injecting the veins of Jesus with heroin because your blood is Jesus's blood.
Why are both of these men Diamond Dallas Page?
And why is there this? Well, that's how I imagine Jesus feels eating that saturated fat in a chicken bar. You know, like, oh, my arteries, Hulk, why are you making me do this?
I have to do so many more squats now because of you. Dared you be
this guy injects. Jesus might explain why Jesus was on the nod when Brutus Beefcake crashed his speedboat, and that's why he wasn't driving. It's like, oh fuck, what did I miss?
All right, here,
God's presence at all? Did he feel distant? Did you cry out and say, God, what's going on here? When am I going to break through? Were there moments like that for you?
Well, he was with me through all that stuff, and I know that.
What? He was with you? Well, when you were sleeping with that woman? You're right.
He was waiting for that hot tag.
Because he turned setbacks into setups for greatness for me.
Oh!
So, like, let's be real for a second. I know there's a lot of people in our audience who are very religious. And a lot of it, you know what I mean? I have no
objection. I'm not. Yeah, I agree.
If you have a personal relationship with the God that you believe in, that's fine. What I'm making fun of is this stupid framework that Hulk Hogan is putting out there.
Well, it's just that he is a lifelong con man. And this is just a, like his new con. His new con is religion, and just using his wrestling tricks with this new religious terminology just humors me. It's right. I just see past it. It's not sincere. That's what we're mocking, his lack of sincerity.
Well, is it not sincere, or is it like he's 70 and afraid to die soon and he's trying to get in good with the creator?
Oh, that's fair.
I'm sure it's a little bit of both, but probably mostly the latter.
I love that we're only 1 minute into this. We have so much to say about it.
Simply because I was in control and I was driving the car. Once again, crashed and burned. I made those mistakes.
Okay, at
you least know, you can blame it. Situations,
you don't
conditions.
Say what any of them are.
You can.
It's true.
Your rationale can pause have 100 reasons why.
I noticed that a lot with narcissistic people. Like, they will make broad statements about, like, yeah, I've made lots of mistakes in my life, and mm-hmm. you know, vague comments. But like, if you try to pin them down on any one of them, they'll have a million excuses for why they actually did the right thing.
Absolutely. I've definitely had that with certain people where they're like giving me blanket apologies and I'm like, okay, like for what?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It turns out it's just, I'm sorry that you feel the way you feel.
Yes.
It's never, I'm sorry for something I did.
Well, what it is I'm sorry that you're upset with me and making it so difficult for me. So I'm saying this so you just get over it, you little baby. Like, that's ultimately what they're doing, you know?
That's because Jesus isn't driving.
But at the end of the day, it's about choices.
Choices.
And I'm not real good, or I wasn't real good at making good choices because of the environment and everything that was going on.
Oh, not because of him, because of the environment. Yeah. See, it's actually not his fault.
Right. It's not his fault that Ricky Steamboat got buried to the mid-card. It was the environment.
Mistakes were made because of the environment. Not because of his choices. Or mistakes were made because of choices he made because of the environment. Not because of his own free will.
He's already so tortured. Like, this is his first step towards enlightenment, and it's already so semantically tortured.
And so once I decided to quit driving the car myself and surrender,
that's when I hit a wall, brother.
That's the wall, brother.
I made. I learned from him. He taught me how to get up with this monster hit that I just took and be honest and truthful and move.
Wow. He's again using wrestling terminology. He's like, oh, I got to make my comeback, basically.
Yeah. He's hulking up against against
sin. Yeah.
And he's gonna no-sell the pitchfork.
Jesus taught him the Hulk up.
Whoa, look at that cross. Was that a reflection?
No, I think that was just a reflection. Oh, imagine that's Jesus. That's Jesus burning his chest for lying. Yeah,
that thing lights up when he's full of shit.
It's a move.
It's a lie detector, Jesus.
Do you remember when I was in Metallica?
Those mistakes I made. I learned from him. He taught me how to get up with this monster hit that I just took and be honest.
Rob, you taking a monster hit today?
Forward.
Oh yeah.
So all those things.
Rob, no, say no.
In the past.
I felt Jesus run through my lungs and I coughed him out.
Because you let him take the wheel.
Yeah, I let him take the wheel of my lungs and I had to cough him out. Vape.
It happened to me, you know, I tell Sky I'm like the old scarred up seal. Yeah. You know, there's been in 20 million battles and I've got scars all over me. And I feel, you know, that I'm not a poser because, you know, knowing of Jesus and knowing him are two different things.
It's
true. You might have heard of Black Flag, but if you don't know the demos, fucking pose.
He read the pre-Bible scrolls about you. That's the only things he cares about.
Hogan is more of an Old Testament guy than the New Testament. You know, he likes the originals.
Yeah. Makes sense with his behavior.
You're fucking right.
That's true. You know, and so at this point, knowing him.
Oh, he knows him now. We're brothers.
With him,
being what?
I think all these scars, all these things I've been through, not that I'm leading by example, but I've been made an example of for people that think I'm not correct or I don't have my act cleaned up.
Do you think this is really God or is Vince McMahon catfishing him?
I want you to go on a Christian show.
Yes, Jesus.
Wear a cross that lights up red.
And poop on the host's face. That's
really?
The end of this
really?
Video.
Really, Jesus? Why? Why should I do that, brother? I think it would be it would help your soul or something.
Just mutes himself and starts cracking up laughing.
Or I can't do this. I think all those people that have all these excuses for being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, it's so gross.
Not being good enough. You don't need to be cleaned up. Come to him. He'll clean you
mortadel.
So that's kind of like.
Did you hear what he just said? Like, no, you don't got to clean yourself up. Just like let Jesus do it. What? Look, let me go back because we are kind of. I want to understand this full point.
For people that think I'm not correct or I don't have my act cleaned up or I can't do this. I think all those people that have all the excuses for being in the wrong place at the wrong time or not being good enough, you don't need to be cleaned up. Come to him. He'll clean you up. So that's kind of like when you talk about those valleys and those low points, they happen for a reason to make me who I am today. So I don't regret any of it, even though if I had a choice to do it over again, I wouldn't, you know. But all those things that happen, I think, they're the reason I'm sitting here today with you.
People call you the
immortal. I mean, I'm not a Christian, but I don't think that's how it works. Like, you just do nothing and, all right, I'm with Jesus now, and then he just does everything for you, and then you're a good person.
Yeah, I think that's a fundamental misunderstanding here, is that, like, you should want to be changing your past because you've learned that you were a sinful person,
right?
And you wouldn't want to repeat those mistakes. Like, if you truly repent, I assume... Right?
I mean, I guess we'll
it's
see.
Just, it seems like there's just, yeah, well, okay, here's the big setup for why Dusty Rhodes Muffler sent
oh, that wasn't video. It? Oh, there's more? Okay.
There's more. Oh, we're only halfway through this video.
Right. People call you the immortal Hulk Hogan. Uh-oh. Eternal life is on the way, but not yet. You've got a lot to do still here on Earth.
Well, the funny thing is, across my back,
a wet T-shirt.
I got a huge tattoo from shoulder to shoulder that says, across my back.
You know what I love about this?
Huge tattoo from shoulder.
My favorite thing about this narcissistic fuck, this is the first shoulder-to-shoulder clip I think we've ever had on the show where they're just talking about literally their own two shoulders and not actually standing alongside someone else. He's only talking about him.
I thought he was going to say he's standing shoulder-to-shoulder with Jesus. That was I thought it was going. No, how silly of me.
Funny thing is, across my back, I've got a huge tattoo from shoulder to shoulder that says immortal on it. And it's not the immortal Hulk Hogan. It's because of what you just said.
Oh!
You know, I got to a point in my life before I met Sky, before I had the baptism.
I never noticed his lazy eye before. His left eye is a little droopier than the right.
Is that Shawn Michaels thing going on?
It's a little different because Shawn Michaels, it's more... His eyeballs are pointing in different directions. This one, his is more like half of his eye is just his like lid is lazy more.
Where I'd had enough. I was sick and tired of myself. You know what I mean? Just the two people in here, my real self and the ego. I was sick and tired of myself.
One that like the court case people. One of those people has a big cock, and the other one.
Yeah, the ego has the 9-inch cock, and his real self does not.
Back to my faith, and one of the things I did was I put that crazy tattoo on my back. Immortal, meaning
why is it crazy?
Christ is my savior.
That looks like
a font for my sins, and I'll live forever. So.
It is the. I believe this is the metal ejection font.
Oh no!
The original metal ejection. Oh no! It's a little different. It's a little different, but it's a very similar style. Yeah,
it's like the same family of fonts.
Exactly.
There's a hole in the middle of his back.
Oh, he's had like seven back surgeries.
Oh,
Yeah, he's had like his back and his hips too. Well, he claims it's from doing the leg drop every night. And if you think about it,
that's his cock.
Well, it's his tailbone.
Yeah, I guess you're. It's not high impact, but over time, it's still compressing.
Yeah, exactly.
That, but why are they going in through his back and fixing that, or what's
something like that? He
who knows how far up the compression goes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
but it is funny because this makes him look extremely mortal, which sort of goes against what the tattoo says.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
With forever, so I put that on my back, and so many people think, "Oh, it's the mortal Hulk Hogan." The ego trip, but no, it was for that reason
bullshit.
That I did that.
I'll call it bullshit.
And
that was about the immortal Hulk Hogan, and now he's retconning.
100%.
Fucking liar.
Or I think it was he wanted people to misinterpret it. And then so he could be like, no, it's for Jesus. I think it was that.
I can see that.
Always a worker. Always the misdirection for the fans for the big pop at the end.
Uh-huh.
Sneaky and bad. I probably should add something.
Promote the immortal chicken and ribs platter at his Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that competes with Ric Flair's Woo Wings.
I probably should add something to it, like John 3:16 over to the side or something to clear things up. But no, moving forward.
But I see this lends to my theory because he's like, he doesn't want people to, to understand it.
Forward, it's been just an incredible journey with the people that are around me. Like we spoke earlier, God takes people away from you that don't belong in your life and brings people to you, you know, along with Sky and Ron Howard, who basically got dialed into his faith, quit drinking alcohol a few years ago, was a huge influence on my life.
Ron
what?
Because
are we talking about a different Ron Howard?
He walked in my gym one time and I had a stack. I don't know if you know what White Claws are.
Yeah.
I had a stack of them up in my gym, you know, probably 10 or 12
Bear
cases.
Claws? What are White
Claws? And he walked in and he goes, who do you serve?
White Claws are the hard seltzers.
Oh, okay.
The alcoholic seltzers.
He was eating Bear Claws.
So what do you mean?
White icing.
He goes, you serve the Lord or you serve that? Wow. I went, okay.
Ron Howard.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I want to be clear. Ron Howard is not the famous Hollywood producer and director. Ron Howard is the financier, a Florida man behind who finances Hogan's Beach Shop. So he's the guy who's like helped get Hogan back on his feet, I guess.
That's too bad. I was hoping it was Ron Howard, the director.
What an amazing story. What an amazing reveal towards the end of the interview that would have been.
I absolutely agree. That would have been insane.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Let's go back to that one.
I got it. You know, so he was a huge influence on me, kind of like when I saw him get correct.
As soon as I saw him back, brother.
You know, there's no way, you know, almost famous Ron Howard is going to get correct, but he did. You know, and he straightened out his marriage, his life, and just everything, you know. So
wow!
To get correct was something.
Holy moly. Look at this. Hulk Hogan with a Santa beard.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's
awesome. And a very unappetitizing plate of sushi.
Is that what I can't tell what the fuck that is. I guess
it's sushi. Yeah, so it's sushi. Them. So it looks like
it's like a cinder block.
So it looks like it's wrapped in what is it?
Seaweed? Cucumber?
Seaweed, thank you. Seaweed, and then there's a cucumber on top. And I guess it's a rainbow roll. Yeah, because it has different fish on top. So it's a California roll with different fish on top. It looks very unappetizing in this photo.
Not fresh.
Just everything, you know. So to watch him get correct.
I had this exact same poster, not with the height, but just this photo in my room.
That size? Up.
Not that size, but like the same, the pose, like not this version of it, but like this pose.
Right, I got it.
Like this photo shoot. Like I vividly remember, I had this photo and a photo of Ultimate Warrior hanging in my room as a kid.
Was something else that was an extra push for me, you know, to regroup and get on track. So everybody's come together, you know. And
so did Jesus give your son a push into that car when?
At the time. for me is just so amazing, because what's going to be important to me moving forward is being the vessel to spread this message, because it's the only truth.
The wrestle vessel?
Oh.
Everything else is just temporary. You know, everything.
Jesus pushed Rick Rude and Ted DiBiase.
The physical. Look, everything is just temporary. And once you get that and you realize that, it's so important that you make other people understand that that's the only truth there is. So moving forward, that's the first foremost thought on my mind, is to being a messenger for my Lord and Savior. That's going to take me where I need to go.
Jesus pushed him into Vince McMahon's office to rat out Jesse Ventura about the union.
He took the wheel.
You know, he said something in there, like about a minute from the end there, that really pissed me off, that I hear a lot of religious people say, which is, Jesus took the bad people out of my life, brother. And like, well, that's such an insulting... Like, what about women? Like,
didn't he also put the bad people in your life, though?
Maybe like, so, but I'm not even focusing on that. Like, let's say you just encounter bad people, fine. But he's saying Jesus takes bad people out of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, what about these women that spend, you know, 20 years with these guys, like, that beat the shit out of them and their kids, or anybody who's in an abusive situation for that long, you know? Why isn't Jesus helping them? Is Hulk Hogan better than them?
Yes.
It's such a filthy thing to say. It's insulting to anyone who has bad people in their life and can't get away from them. Kids with terrible parents. Bullying.
Maybe situation. For them, it's like it's a cross that they have to bear to like better themselves.
Yeah, it's just all retroactive bullshit. Yeah. Like whatever happens, you find some platitude to say, describe it, and it fits into the narrative.
Yep.
And if you think about it for 2 seconds, it just falls completely apart.
Yeah, none of it adds up.
That's why, like I said before, I'm not against, you know, if you want to be religious and you are sincere about it and you're a good person, I might not agree with, you know, the tenets or the doctrines or whatever, but it's not inherently a bad thing. If it's so hard to find shit that makes you happy in this life, you know, go for it. But this preachy bullshit is what really pisses me off.
It's when you start being hypocritical that it really starts bothering me.
Yeah, especially Hulk Hogan. I mean, come on. The only thing he should ever say in public is like, I'm so fucking sorry. I'm so sorry for everything I did. Here's a list of all the things I did. Here's a list of all the people I fucked over in my life. Here's a list of all the lies that I told, people that I scammed in businesses. Just that should be the only public statements you ever make before, and do that for about a year. And then I might take some of this horseshit seriously.
Never going to happen. True.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't mean it. I'm sure he's the exact same person.
Well, what if the only way it can happen is if he literally sees Jesus and Jesus tells him that he will not get into heaven until he says all of those exact, like Jesus has to literally write the script for him.
Jesus has to smack him around like Paulie Walnuts a little bit. Grab him by the ear. Hey, come here. What are you doing? What are you doing? You want to get into heaven? Come here. Enough of this bullshit. you was in Metallica? You was in Metallica? Prove it, wise guy.
Not here, pal.
Fuck out of here. Jesus should produce the British Bulldog's soul from heaven. Bring him down.
God.
And say, you held this man back from being a champion. Make amends to him.
Is that true?
Mr. Perfect.
British Bulldog?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Hulk Hogan was still around like 93, 94, right? Oh, 94 he was gone.
No, he was in WCW by then.
When did he go over there?
94, I believe. Or was it 94? Yeah, 94.
Yeah, so Bulldog was starting to get a push like, what, 92? It could be a different
one.
I might have my time.
But yeah, there's plenty.
Yeah, he's Steamboat, but he's still alive, so that wouldn't have worked for my joke.
With the live cast curse, give it the weekend. We might lose Ricky.
Sorry, Ricky.
He looks like he's in good shape.
He does. But Jesus will take his hands off the wheel for some poor person, and I'll hit Ricky Steamboat with a semi truck.
God damn, he's 71, Ricky Steamboat. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the guy was having like classics with Ric Flair in the 80s. Uh-huh. It's almost 40 fucking years ago.
That's wild.
He still looks good. He was AEW show recently, and he looks way better than Flair. I tell you what.
He's been married 5 times. Wow.
Wow, that I didn't know.
He's a ladies man.
I guess Jesus took the bad people out of his life one by one, 4 times. Or 5, I don't know. Is he still married to the 5th one?
I think so.
Okay. 4 or 5, let's say. Good old Rick.
One of these days you'll get your chance, Rob.
Laying that Hawaiian love pump down.
Well, Ricky Steamboat back in the day looked so hot.
Yeah. You like eight men to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he's like Pacific Islander. But like his son, Richie Steamboat, also a very attractive man.
Let's see a pick. Richie.
He's retired now because he had like a bad injury.
Retired from wrestling?
From wrestling, yes.
He even was a wrestler.
He was in like NXT.
I didn't realize that was Ricky Steamboat's son. I know this guy. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He looks sort of like Paul London. A little bit.
Sure. Tracks.
Yeah.
But he never made it.
Richard Blood.
He made it to your spank bank at the very least. So there's that.
But look at the jeans he was given. My goodness, hello, my God,
Asian excellence. Bah, 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 boom.
Yeah, nice guy too. Probably give you a reach around.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler says Hulk Hogan must job to Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs before he can get in heaven.
And males.
Very specific, but sure.
Oh, so Ricky Steamboat is half Japanese. And half American. So
you okay with that, Rob?
Quarter chap. I'm absolutely okay with
that's
that.
That's good enough for you?
Well, what's
sure.
What's his mother? What's Richie Blood's mother?
He was born in West Point, New York. It doesn't say which family member was what. It just says he's half English, half Japanese American descent. Oh, okay. So... What?
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks.
That's serious.
What else is going on in the world, folks? What else is going on?
You posted this link about 90s modern slang.
Oh, yeah. I found this silly video, and it's very odd because this almost feels revisionist because I don't remember any of this stuff.
Ooh.
So let's take a look.
So this is like a news feature?
Yeah.
Today, if you want to sound as if you've stayed up with the times, you know that awesome or big time will get the point across as in, that was an awesome evening segment I just saw.
All right, so it's already blowing my mind that awesome has just entered the vernacular when it is something I use... Like I don't even think about it.
It's almost like, dated at this point.
I thought
exactly.
More 80s than that.
Right. So he say the intro to this is like awesome is already established. So here are some new words.
I get it.
Yeah. But just that there was a time when like awesome was like the new word. It's crazy to me. I don't have that context.
Awesome or big time. We'll get the
big time.
That was an awesome evening segment I just saw. Well, here are some other phrases you want to know if you want to be sure to sound hip in the 90s.
Yo, a greeting.
Yo, Curb, what's up?
Clutch the pearls, said in amazement or disbelief.
Well, you know he's married.
Clutch the pearls.
Like this almost is paced like a Tim and Eric sketch.
Yeah, it really is.
Except it's 100% sincere. It's not intended to be ironically funny. It's intended to be sincerely funny.
So for those listening, the woman in this video who just said clutch the pearls is actually wearing pearls that she actually clutched. Do you think people watched this video and thought they could only say the phrase if they were actually wearing pearls at the time? Because you'd think just to make it clear, they would have the person not in pearls.
Right. It's a metaphor. But,
yeah, I don't see why we need the literal version of it.
Yeah.
But.
And I don't remember people saying, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, Pearl.
Yeah, as a pejorative, never, right. Never as like to describe themselves.
Touch
yeah,
the pearl.
Being shocked,
like an interjection or whatever.
Yeah,
with Mary,
clutch the pearls.
Never heard that.
Bucked.
In the '80s, it was just wasted.
I don't know how many I had, but boy, did I get bucked. I sure felt it the next morning. That was really the worst thing I'd ever done.
Also, now it's like a porno suddenly with the music. Like, are these guys gonna fuck?
Yeah,
this is like a hangover porno.
It's straddling the line between a porno and like a trade industrial training video.
So wait, what does bucked mean?
Like fucked up. You got drunk.
Wasted.
Drunk.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one either.
Never heard this.
I'd ever done.
I hope you didn't drive home.
No way.
MacGyver, as in the TV show where the impossible is often accomplished.
I can't believe you got off that speeding ticket. What a MacGyver.
Now, isn't that how that word is used?
I've heard that used.
It's close enough.
Yeah, I think it's that's a bad example. One. That's a bad.
Yeah, example. A MacGyvering is like when you hack something together and it works.
Yeah.
I feel
you
really MacGyver then.
You wanted to heat up a baked potato, but the microwave wasn't working, so you used the radiator and like two sticks or pencils or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is Norville, which never in my life, other than obviously the
news reporter Deborah Norville?
Maybe.
Norville, to secretly undermine.
Yeah.
I can't believe she stole your job. You've really been Norville.
Black and Decker.
Wait. Did she steal someone's job?
I think Jane Pauley, right? Wasn't she replaced on some like morning network show by Deborah Norville? And it was like,
was she?
Like, yeah, I remember that. I didn't remember that there was a beef that arose from it.
Yeah, though. I think so.
So this is maybe this whole thing is just made by Jane Pauley to try to spread Norville as a slang term.
Oh my god.
Job. You really
yeah, that's Connie
it.
Chung's daughter that she got
Black
to help out.
Or a real tough assignment. You get the analogy, right?
This job is a real grind. It's just a Black and Decker.
Never.
Some phrases may be around forever.
Well, look, I gotta run. Peace.
Bye, Tom.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
One last word for words of the 90s.
Black
you gotta remember
Decker.
The hip slang changes rather quickly, so if you want to use any of these phrases, you better use them in a hurry. I mean, think of Bart Simpson. Cowabunga is dreadfully out of date, hardly out of style, and you don't want to appear.
I is more in style than any of those.
Wait, you listen to the last line.
Want to appear bizotic, do you?
You don't want to appear bizotic, do you? What? What word is that?
This has to be a troll video. Like this was made today. So and they slipped like one piece in there, so you'd think it was real.
Yeah.
I believe it if you told me that.
Yes.
It originally aired on Evening Magazine on KING TV in 1991.
I honestly would believe it if you told me someone made that with like retro costumes to make people think people actually talk like this in 1991.
You know what this makes me think of? I don't remember if we ever talked about this on the show before. There's the famous story of when grunge music was first becoming popular, a New York Times reporter called Sub Pop and just wanted to interview someone about grunge. And it was like an intern or whoever who picked up the phone. They're like, what are some words and like lingo that you guys use? And the intern just sarcastically made up off the top of her head a bunch of like random lingo. And the New York Times printed it as like the actual shit, like catch you on the flippity flop and stuff like that. Just like random shit that she just made up. And they printed it as like, this is what the people and the kids in Seattle are saying. So this feels like that, where somebody just made a bunch of shit up and somebody else is like, all right, we'll go with it.
I got totally Black and Deckered last night. What did Black and Decker mean? I forgot.
It's a really tough job.
Oh, God.
Okay. You get it.
Yes.
I know Black and Decker, Pecker Wrecker.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But that's the
Here's a news report on grunge from the same year.
Ooh.
Jennifer and Eric, they were Joe in the movie, by the way. Finally tonight, are you up on the latest hot trend in music? Are you into the grunge?
I love that her hair is still of the 80s. It's like hair metal hair thing. You know, like you could really tell we're on the precipice of change here.
She looks like she's been to some art concerts.
I take more issue with the makeup than the hair.
Mm, fair.
Looks like a clown a little bit.
Clown in costume.
Clowns in costume.
It, yeah, drag makeup has really evolved since then. I agree.
Bunch of fucking clowns in costume.
From the latest hot trend in music, are you into the grunge?
The grunge,
sound
like the clap.
Sound. Born in Seattle, it has become so
popular. Seattle?
Seattle has definitely become the country's new hot breeding ground for rock stars. Take the Seattle grunge band called Nirvana. It has become the nationwide sensation. Its first album has taken the music industry by storm.
I hate when news reports refer to bands as it. I think it's bands are a they, in my opinion. Great.
But also, didn't she just revert to Nevermind as their first album, which it is not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could say it's their first major label album. Yeah.
Their breakthrough album.
What a 7.7 D and the number one band in the nation, ladies and gentlemen. It's Nirvana from the Nevermind LP. Smells like.
And the men behind the sound are from the town of Aberdeen, Washington. Lead singer Kurt Cobain, Chris Novoselic on bass, and drummer Dave Grohl.
Can you just pause that for a second?
Topped the Billboard chart.
That just reminded me of a story when I was going to Atlantic City and we're going down on the bus, and there was some reason a group of like high school age Scottish kids who were touring New York City and I guess decided to go to Atlantic City one day. There was like 11 or 12 of them, and we passed on the exit sign that said Aberdeen, because there's an Aberdeen in New Jersey and there's an Aberdeen in Scotland. And they all flip the fuck out. They're all looking out there with Aberdeen, Aberdeen. Like they're just screaming it. Holy shit. That was such a nice little snapshot. Okay, sorry for that sidebar.
Charts, knocking Michael Jackson down to number 5 and beating out Garth Brooks, Hammer, and U2.
They soared to the top quicker than anybody would have ever imagined, including the record label.
Nobody
had any idea that this band was going to happen as fast as they did.
Even Rolling Stone magazine, featuring Nirvana in its latest issue, calls it a startling success story. The homegrown grunge pop sound is up for a Grammy for Best Alternative Music Album of the Year.
This record is a record that people can relate to. There's no hype behind this record.
You are literally hyping it right now.
Cameras behind this record. It's a record made by the people for the people.
Released by the corporations. This isn't as fun as I thought it would be, this one. Honestly, like, I have to say, I'm a little, like, initially, I was getting very nostalgic for the old 90s new style edit, but then I'm like, wow, they're doing a really shitty job of just basic news reporter compiling here. So, no. Let's see what a 1992 MTV segment about grunge is like. Maybe this will be a little fairer.
It's a big word now, it's a buzzword, you know?
I think the whole general trend, though, was getting away from bland, boring music that has been played to death.
Boring is the last thing you'd call the music put out by a group of Seattle
sword.
Bands that would forever change the face of commercial music.
I wasn't done. Married to Michael Lewis now.
Oh, really?
Later. Yeah.
Grunge.
Hey, can I wear that flannel shirt?
When a band like Nirvana comes along out of the underground that has the real spirit of, you know, it really expresses something that's going on in the culture, and it's not just a, you know, commodity.
There's a reporter taking down, you know, as new slang of
yeah,
the grunge.
Exactly.
Well, again, that would have never, they would have had two cameras on her and cut out all of those you knows in like a modern edit, you know. You know?
I really don't know why it's happened. I'm glad that it has, just because of the fact that, you know, I mean, so many great bands now are getting a chance to tour and to get their music out and stuff.
other bands that suddenly attracted whole new audiences were the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not grunge.
Yeah, noted grunge band, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Went on to claim top positions on the pop charts.
The Cure?
We become part of the mainstream if we sell a lot of records. Because, you know, that's what the mainstream is, really.
Or is this
grunge just, like, is just popular music?
Is this... did they ever say that this is a grunge report?
And it kind of hurts me because I feel like they think that we've abandoned
just like
that whole scene because we've achieved all this commercial success. But that's not true. We're doing the same thing we've always done. It's just more people are paying attention to it now, and that's not our fault.
By not that was Flea talking.
It's not our fault people pay attention to us because we come out with our cocks and socks for our shows. We're not doing that for attention.
I just prefer to be a corporate whore, and I just want to make money and sell and sell and sell, and I want more, and I want more money, I want more money. Let's get into
it! He basically just laid out the blueprint for the rest of their career.
Yeah.
Joined forces with Pearl Jam, Ministry, Lush, Ice Cube, Soundgarden, and the Jesus and Mary Chain.
What a bill!
What turned out to be the most successful touring package of the year, Lollapalooza.
I do think Lollapalooza definitely awakened a lot of people to alternative stuff.
I think it's like addressing an audience that maybe hadn't been really addressed by
what a cutie.
The music industry ever before.
Oh, hell yes. About his art, yes. Rob. That's all you do is look at the
popularity. Well, it helps that he's very handsome.
Was
being courted by 12 major labels. Helmet got ready to hit the big time this fall.
Could you imagine a time when Helmet netted a multi-million-dollar major label deal? Like, they're good, but like, what were people thinking?
Found themselves in the unlikely position of having played on four albums.
Everyone wanted
the
new
40.
Thing.
Their
yeah.
Debut,
trying anything.
Mother Love Bone's last record, the Temple of the Dog album.
This is pretty crazy.
Late Mother Love Bone lead singer Andy Wood, and the soundtrack.
This is actually
Andy
a good
Rose
report. What are we
singles,
doing here?
Which featured
new something. Learning a lot.
Ugh, I love these guys so much. I think I love them now more than I did as a kid.
It's great. This everything they ever did was they never put out anything subpar.
Totally, yeah. Totally agree.
Unlike this band.
Yeah, they really shouldn't be loving Red Hot Chili Peppers.
It's so, I liked Red Hot Chili Peppers as a kid, but it's like one of those things like we talked about with Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred, when I became an adult and my tastes got refined. I was like, wait a minute. You're just ripping off from much better stuff. And it's, and you know, like Anthony Kiedis, I thought was so cool as a kid. And obviously, I thought he was very attractive, but he's a terrible singer. He's a terrible frontman. Like, he's not good.
Right. It's pablum. It's just easy, you know.
They're not serious people.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's pop rock.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's all they ever really tried to be was like a party band that just happened to randomly get really popular. But
I think it's just like what Rob said. They got, or Sid said, they got swept up in this mania and they happened to be near it.
Yeah.
And they became one of these serious bands that's like doing art, and it just doesn't apply to them at all.
You know whose fault it is? It's Rick Rubin's fault, really, because he produced that what was it, Blood Sugar Sex Magic, where Under the Bridge was on that and all that. It was him telling Anthony Kiedis to write serious songs and like trick the world into thinking this was more than just like a sort of joke band.
Did you either of you go to Lollapalooza?
I went I went to the same one that you did, where Wu-Tang and Metallica and all them played.
Wu-Tang.
That's the only one I ever went to.
I just remember Wu-Tang and like all being mystified at the crowd. Like it might have been early in the tour because I think they were just like looking at people throwing themselves around the pit and everything. And like, yo, motherfuckers, it's crazy, dog.
Yep. There's a topless white woman who ran on the stage.
I mean, they stopped performing for like 5 minutes just to like comment on the crowd.
I can't remember if they were on the entire tour or if they were just a special guest for the New York City leg, which might even more explain their reaction. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, who else? Soundgarden, I think, was on that. The Ramones, Rancid.
Ramones were great. I know you're not a huge Ramones fan, but there's something cool about seeing them live.
And in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was
it. Trying to look up what that full bill was.
It was okay, but it was at the point where people were like complaining that Lollapalooza was like going mainstream and like how could you have Metallica, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's
oh, that was the whole lineup. So it was July 10th, 96. at Randall's Island, Ramones, mm-hmm. Wu-Tang Clan, Rancid, Metallica, Soundgarden.
That was my first time going to Randall's Island.
Yeah, same.
Which I'm there like every fucking week now. Well, not this time of year. But
there weren't any other bands? I feel like it was a much bigger bill than that. Those were just like the main bands, no?
Yeah, it was a second stage, I think. Right?
Hold on.
But also, isn't that such a dumb complaint?
Oh, like, right.
Metallica shows up, all these bands get exposed to people.
Yeah.
I see. So the on the whole tour, it was Metallica, Soundgarden, Ramones, Rancid, Shaolin Monks, Screaming Trees, and Psychotica. And then on select dates. Oh, okay. So on the side stage, Beth Hart Band, Girl Against Boys, Ben Folds 5, Ruby, Corner Shop, UMI, Soul Coughing, Sponge, Melvins, Satchel, Johnny Polonsky, Fireside.
Wait, who's Johnny Polonsky? Isn't that just the lead singer of Sponge? Am I wrong?
He is a multi-instrumentalist.
No. So who's the lead singer of Sponge? I feel like he also had a Polish-sounding name.
Let's see.
Vinny Dombrowski. Close enough.
Well, so then there's some select date artists. Was Rage Against the Machine on your event or no?
I can't remember.
Cheap Trick?
Like I would remember that.
Violent Femmes?
Right? No, not Cheap Trick.
Can we look up the specific New York
dates? I guess Wu-Tang Clan was one. I can't find the New York date specifically, even though it did have that. Let's see. July 10th. Welcome to Googling.
Yeah.
Livecast.
This is fine. It's a couple of minutes of Googling for an interesting result.
And it'll end with you photoshopping Anthony Kiedis' face onto Ron Jeremy's belly button. So it's a victory.
What's sweaty nipples? I never heard of sweaty nipples. Is that a?
I don't know that.
I just looked up a band, like one of these side stage bands in 1992. Wow.
Here's the lineup: Metallica, Soundgarden, Ramones, Rancid, Wu-Tang, Screaming Trees, Shaolin Monks, Psychotica, Beth Hart Band, Girls Against Boys, Ben Folds 5, Ruby, Moonshake, Corner Shop, UMI, Chune, Lutefisk, Capsize 7.
Yeah, it's okay. I had a good enough time at that show. That was like my first big festival show.
You saw some titties. That was a very monumental thing, I feel, in the 90s, before the proliferation of titties all over the internet. Seeing IRL titties
was like
an achievement unlocked.
There were definitely way more male titties than female titties at that show, I will say.
An achievement unlocked.
Ben Folds is good friends with Weird Al, one of Weird Al's favorite artists, he says.
And that was like on the come up. That was like if he's on the side stage, that was before like the MTV hits and all of that. So that was early days of Ben Folds 5.
And I think Weird Al directed Ben Folds' videos, a couple of Ben Folds' videos.
Oh, wow. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely had a moment where he was a big deal, and then people went back to being like, wait, there's just some dude with a piano that's not named Elton John? No, thanks.
He's talented. I wouldn't say my favorite artist, but I get into some of his shit.
Yeah. He had a good run. Probably still does music. I don't know for sure, but I can't imagine why not. But I don't think I saw Ben Folds at that show.
Definitely not. That's news to me that he was there.
I think I mostly stuck by the main stage. I was like terrified to like lose track of my friends that I was there with, so I didn't really stray too far.
I was with the same guy that I went to Woodstock with, that I took acid with.
Did you do anything like that at the Lollapalooza?
No, this was 1992, right?
No, the one we're talking about was 96.
Oh, 96. I've just probably smoked weed. I never did any hard drugs except that one. Those two times. The first time was a dud, and the second time worked. And I never was scared to ever do any hard drugs. Like, I didn't really want to in the first place, honestly. I did it because my friend was nagging me.
Well, yeah, the first time your friend was at the wheel, but then after that, God was at the wheel, so you were fine. Yeah. Protected.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, you could see, you could do it again, and then Jesus will get you going.
Jesus let me have a terrifying trip, man.
Oh, so I found this other thing on Twitter today, and I wanted to share it because this is my new favorite person. So just for some context, this is a person entering the Madonna concert in LA.
Okay.
And so this was at the Fabulous Forum, which is in Inglewood, which is a bit of a schlep from LA proper for non South California residents. And I've been to a show at the Forum. The thing that fucking sucks about the Forum is, you know, everybody's driving. And so you have 15,000 cars you have to park, essentially, or, you know, 11,000 cars you have to park. So if you get there, the closer you get there to showtime, the further you're parking mm-hmm. away. And when I say the further you're parking away, because the Forum shares a parking lot with the big stadium, like the, what is it?
SoFi?
I think it's SoFi, yeah.
Or Staples Center, I guess it's called Crypto.com Arena now.
No, 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 no.
Football stadium or the basketball?
It's a football, the football SoFi. Stadium. So I think it's SoFi, yeah. So, I remember I parked literally at least a mile away from the venue. And you really could have taken an Uber, and they charge you like $40, you know, some crazy, it's ridiculous. So that's me explaining it. Now I want this wonderful, wonderful person who went to go see Madonna explain the exact same situation that I did, but in their own personal flair. Okay. So let me just set this up here. It's worth it.
Oh boy.
Can you just describe what this person looks like?
She looks like Pete Rose with a wig. Basically, right. Darren, will you back me up on that one?
Indubitably so. That's a great, or slimmed down Chris Farley.
Yeah, I was going to say, they look like the Chris Farley in the Gap sketch about, like, can I have some of your fries?
Lay off me, I'm starving. Yeah.
Like that. And so with that said,
at the Madonna concert. Okay, here we are at Madonna.
Okay, I just want to be clear. Bucks. Pause it. So this is... Is this a man or a woman?
I don't know. Okay. This is a person.
I'm not being, like, rude. I legitimately
don't. Yeah. I'm using the they pronoun, just in case.
I'm saying at the Madonna, this person identifies as a woman.
At a concert. Okay, here we are at Madonna. Okay, $80 to park the car like 10 blocks away. So I just got my cardio. I need an oxygen tank and a cigarette at the same time. Then they say no bags. Now, is this a big bag, guys? Come on.
I mean, it's a bag.
But these it girls is. Have little bags. Look, check them in, no bags. They said you have to have a clear bag. When was the last time you worked at Macy's, bitches? I can't.
I want to see he sounds like Louis Anderson. I can't. Let me go back. This is my new favorite person.
Yeah. When was the last time you worked at Macy's, bitches?
What is that?
I can't. I just want to see Madonna.
Ask Madonna what's up.
I think what they're saying is there's no clear plastic. Like, there's no clear purses. You can't go to Macy's.
There are, but
buy.
Not if you want to be stylish. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, do you want to see Madonna or not?
What's up?
Like, Madonna, what is going on? You owe me a t-shirt, bitch.
T-shirt is $50.
I'm excited.
This is Corpse Grinder with a blonde wig.
Hey, oh my god, that is so perfect.
So, the internet has found this person, okay. TikTok celebrity, okay. Cosmo Queen of Melrose, which is, of course, fashion queen of Hollywood and Melrose. Owner of Cosmo's Glam Squad Boutique.
Oh.
So let's
You become the queen of
Melrose. Just stand back.
Honestly, nothing they said was wrong.
Yeah.
Long story. Years ago, when I came out, actually, I was never in. That's another story.
And I hit. You know, this is the LA gay version of Tommy, what's his name? Dick Giddies.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Big Time Tommy. This is like if Big Time Tommy was on estrogen.
Big Time Tammy.
Are you in the closet or is the closet in you? That's your thought of the day. OS for life. Take it easy.
Yes, queen for life.
Let's go.
Los Angeles from New York City. I just became the queen of Melrose. It just happened. Yeah. It was waiting for me. The title
Jesus took the wheel.
Eat that last piece of pizza. What are you waiting for? God damn it.
You can't have your mouth full on camera.
Okay, this one has a lot of views. It looks like she's saying a Madonna thing. Let's see.
Anyway, guys, after a Madonna concert, I became obsessed all over again with Madonna. It was fucking amazing.
I love this person's voice so much.
Guys, today, some of my favorite things. So those are her actual boots from the movie Desperately Seeking Susan. And I have...
The other thing I want to say is when I went to see Madonna 2 months ago, this was the song that I had looped in my head as well. So I feel such a kinship with the Cosmo Queen of Melrose right now.
Everybody get up and get to sleep. Get up and do your thing.
Just gagging. It's so
gagging.
And I got these from a movie rental place that my friend works in, so she hooked it up.
I think there's just something about sassiness with like a low register that just it works so well for me.
Sounds like a combination of every type of New York accent.
Yeah, men and women, all in one voice.
Can
we get the Cosmo Queen of Melrose on this show? I'm sure.
Oh my God!
Maybe. Great interview. I would love that.
Let's reach out.
That my friend works in, so she hooked it up. Yes! I'm so excited! And also, I put
genuinely warm
today.
Person.
I'm obsessed. Here. And this is Tony Ward. And he's my neighbor in Burbank. Actually,
delightful.
In front of my house. He was walking in front of my house one day, and I'm like, you look familiar. And he's like,
familiar.
Like, what's your name? And he goes, Tony Ward. And I almost like passed out on the grass. So it's a small world, guys, today. Enjoy.
We love you, Cosmo Queen!
Yeah, you got to visit their store next time you're in LA, Rob.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Burbank is a little out of the way, but I will make the schlep.
Thank you.
Here's another one. This is the second most views on the channel after that first Madonna video. So let's just watch this.
And Cosmo, what would you say is the most important lesson you've learned in all of this?
The most important lesson? That's a good question. That's a really good question.
I've asked it once or twice before.
It's a good one, baby. Try to love yourself.
That's the biggest challenge, isn't it?
Love yourself. Oh, and it's a constant
thing. Oh, is this that guy that...
But basically, it's like, you know, just try, like, self-love, self-care. Esteemable things, esteemable acts, and you'll have self-esteem. That's the biggest one for me. Like, do things you don't want to do. You know, esteemable acts, whatever it is. Go to a meeting. Put your hand out to a newcomer. Mm. So helping somebody else.
Rob does that at the bathhouse.
Better than making the money, property, the prestige. Just helping somebody else is a greater feeling. Like when you leave a meeting. It's like when you go to the gym and you take care of your body. Right?
Nice
you
thought.
Can walk in there all depressed. And come out like a new person, no new pair of glasses. Well, if you go to a meeting and you help, you're of service, either making coffee or just letting your hand out, even sitting in that chair, listening, and somebody sees you sitting in that chair, you're being of service.
I was going to ask you, but I saw the answer is in the description. It's from Soft White Underbelly, which is a great YouTube channel. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it.
No.
But this guy just interviews... random people, not random people, but interesting people mm-hmm. who aren't famous that have had either very traumatic lives, like sex workers or people who are schizophrenic or people like this who are sort of eccentric. And he just does long form, like 45 minute interviews with them. Wow. It's very good and interesting.
Nice.
No, I wasn't familiar before, but I will certainly seek out his long form Cosmo Queen interview. Yeah. Oh, it's like 38 minutes.
Yeah, he's a very good interviewer too. Like he lets the person talk, and when he interjects, it's always like a very like pointed question that gets them going on a good track. You know, very good interviewer.
And I guess there's two videos from Soft White Underbelly with Cosmo.
Oh, wow. There's a part two, eh?
Very nice. We'll be looking. So bless the Cosmo Queen. We love you. Yeah. We're a big fan.
I guess Madonna didn't come out as quite as late for that show since they were satisfied with the show after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
No lawsuit.
Oh, well, I read since the first shows, because the Barclays show that I went to was like the first show of the tour, apparently.
Okay.
Or the second show of the tour, something like that. But since then, she has gotten much better with her timing.
Okay.
That was the latest that she apparently had come out on this run. All right. Let's talk about our Spotify picks. Every week, we each pick a song.
Up to that already? Holy shit.
Drop it in a Spotify playlist, which you can look up. The RIP Livecast Music Breakup.
You're ready, Rob? You to throw up?
Oh. Oh. We have a guest submit. We have a listener submission this week as well, right? Who's our listener submission, Sid?
Sansker has submitted the song Calcified Youth by the band Blood from the Soul. And I had to double check to make sure it wasn't the song Blood from the Soul by the band Calcified Youth, because that would really could go either way. I would have believed either one. But the song title is Calcified Youth. And he says, cool metalcore hardcore supergroup with Shane from Napalm Death, Jake from Converge, Dirk from Megadeth, and Jesper from Burst and Nazem? Nazem? How do you pronounce that, Rob? I'm guessing
Nazem.
You. Nazem. So yeah, that's Sansker's pick.
Sounds like a nose condition.
Yeah, or a medicine of some sort.
Yeah.
Like one of those inhaler type deals.
My pick is the group Pixel Grip. They're from Chicago. And I saw them last night. They opened for the industrial band that I mentioned on the show before, Health, that I really like. And it was so refreshing to see like a goth industrial kind of show and everyone had a live drummer. I feel that adds so much
interesting
to the music, to just have the, even though the beats are pretty repetitive, you know, it's not like mind blowing drum virtuoso stuff, but just having that energy on stage adds so much. And I wasn't familiar with Pixel Grip. My friend who I went with told me that it's very, he described it as like very vaginal music. And I was like, very pussy music, pussy pop. And I was like, I don't quite understand what you're saying. But then as soon as the moment I saw them perform, I was like, oh, what he's telling me is they're serving cunt. Cause that
did you not like them anymore?
I loved it. No, don't get me wrong. It was so good. The front woman had an amazing outfit on. It looked like she could have been on RuPaul's Drag Race and won for that week. I actually posted it to my Instagram stories. I was so impressed with them. They were very much about aura. And again, like I say this in pure flattery, and I was very, very, very impressed, and I was listening to them all morning after, and it's so fun to go to a show and like discover a band. I haven't done that in a while.
Now, Rob, you said they could have been on she could have been on Drag Race and what?
And won. Oh no, you got me. Here, let me play that clip I shared on my reel if it loads. Well, this is the pizza that I got to start the night. industry. Highly recommend it. Look at her!
Very Grace Jones.
Yeah. Was the cut later?
Yeah. You had to be there. You had to be there.
Oh, she looks good. I
but she was serving it. She had like really great banter, like very confident and empowering.
I'm into it.
Nice.
Also, one thing that was very sweet is that before the tour, she posted on social media that everyone on the tour is, like everyone in her band on the tour is sober, so please do not bring drugs or buy her drinks. If you want to get her something, bring her roses. And then when we walked by the merch booth, she had like a stack of roses, aww, which I thought was very, very sweet by the fans. It was a really great vibe. Everyone was very positive, and like it was like a party. It was like a dance party, but also metal and God. I loved it.
Nice.
If health is coming to your area with this tour, highly recommend it. So Pixel. So you know the track. Since I've already played Health recently. I picked Pixel Grip, and this is the song that most stand out to me. It's their most recent single, Bet You Do. Darren, what was your pick?
I went old school, as I am wont to do often, and I played a track from Sade because I was just playing her old album yesterday. Mm-hmm. And this is a song called Cherry Pie, which Sid asked me if it was a Warrant cover, and I believe this came out before the Warrant song.
You're correct.
But different
would
song.
Would you say Sade serves cunt, Darren?
No, I think she serves evasive romanticism.
Ooh. She's not cunty, cunty, cunty.
She's pure class, Sade. I had a huge crush on her.
She's a pageant queen. She doesn't serve cunt.
I would say I still find her very, very attractive. I honestly don't know what she looks now. Looks like.
Yeah,
now.
I haven't seen Sade to 20 years.
But I think
does
it's
she still
also
perform?
I don't have no idea. I don't even know if she's putting out music or anything.
She definitely put something out in the last 2 years. I remember
she put out Cunt.
She put out a cunty album, yes.
Goth industrial crooning.
That would be lovely.
But she's
I guess she hasn't put something out in a while.
And with her, it's like, well, she's a beautiful woman. But I mean, it's a lot of it is in the delivery and the voice. She's just a very sexy, sexy overall vibe. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to pick a deep cut because everybody knows, you know, Smooth Operator and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
Smooth Operator is a jam. I love it. So, but I get what you're saying. I really do need to dive into Sade because I did always really like No Ordinary Love also was really good.
You know what? A lot of it is a formula. Like it's sort of, you know, she doesn't like stray a lot from her what works, but it doesn't matter. Like it's,
when you're the best at it, then by all means.
I actually
Rhodes Muffler said it correctly. She serves face.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But Sid, I sent you the wrong track, and that track just happens to be the one before I was giving you the track to put in the playlist. Mm-hmm. That track is like one of the few songs that's not a love song. It's like about racism and like let's end racism.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't really think it's worthy of a playlist because it's just sort of like, it's got like two lines and she just repeats them over and over. It's like, let's be nice to each other and stuff. So it's not really one of her best songs, but Cherry Pie is a very good song. Nice. So listen to it. Objectifying men. We got equal time. Objectify men as
good.
Well, it's just, she's saying he's sweet as Cherry Pie, but I'm going to stretch it to saying that she's doing a Warrant.
Sid, what's your pick?
Well, I've been watching on Netflix this week. Me and my wife have been watching the reality competition series Blown Away, which is about glass blowing. Shockingly compelling. You wouldn't think so, but it's a very compelling watch. And it made me think of the song Blown Away by the band Guns N' Wankers, which was a side project band of the lead singer and drummer of the band Snuff, which is a British punk band from the 90s. And he put out an EP as Guns N' Wankers, and it's one of the best EPs ever released, in my opinion. It's fantastic. There's not a bad song on it. And so I picked the song Blown Away because the TV series reminded me of the song.
Very cool. And so just quickly, I want to play this little clip of a song. Darren, you seem to have a little bit of confusion about what serving cunt actually means. So there's actually a classic house song from Kevin Aviance called Cunty, which describes exactly what that means. And Beyonce actually sampled it in a song last summer. See, he is serving cunt in every scene here. I want to be clear.
Let me just fast forward a little.
Yeah. Is this Charlie Villanueva from the Yukon Huskies?
Now do you get it?
I think I got it already, but thanks. No,
I just wanted to play this loop.
Yeah. On all matters of LGBT community, art, and culture, I defer to Rob. Unlike
I thought you were going to say, on all matters of cunt. Yeah, well, that's too.
Unlike the youth community, which I am in touch with. I am not in touch with the gay lifestyle, but although I respect your boundaries and admire your dedication.
It's time to burn those boundaries down, honey. I don't know. All right, let's talk about our Patreon. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, you can always hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPLifecast. It's very cunty. $5 a month gets you access to 2 bonus episodes every month. And like we said, the one we just posted was No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan and Zeus. It's very fun. We had a really good time riffing on it. And earlier this month, we posted a full episode, just like the one we did, with much dirtier links. Some of the stuff is a little too risque for the public YouTube.
So. I mean, some of the AI images that were generated are the most risque, among the most risque things we've ever done on this show.
That's true. That's true. Like, if that segment was on the regular show, like our weekly show, I'm not kidding when I say we need to edit it out. I do not want that stuff public.
You got a problem with Anne Frank twerking? Rob, come on.
I'm with Rob on this one. It was really out there.
It's just, I mean, it's the type of locker room talk you only share amongst friends and Patreon subscribers.
Oh, it was hilarious. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, but very, very inappropriate. The peak of inappropriate. So that's what you could find on the Patreon. Here, this is us being a little reserved, and we hold back a little bit, I would say, here on this show. And on the Patreon, we don't hold back. So patreon.com/RIPLivecast. That's $5 a month. We love and thank all of our patrons. And if you want to throw a little extra cash, if you really, really love us,
yeah,
$10 a month, you're a top Livecast fan. Oh, and I want to mention both of these also have, you get little Discord perks if you're in our Discord, which you don't even have to pay to be in our Discord. You can just hang out with us for free in there all week. The invite is at riplivecast.com. But if you are a Patreon or a top Livecast fan, you get a little badge, a little Discord badge. And so I want to read our top live. I want to read our top live cast. I'm not going to read that comment, but it did come up on the screen. Our top live cast fans of the week: Eric, definitely serving. Benjamin, definitely serving. Dan R, you're giving face. Mindy Mayer's Kippa, more of a body queen. Shashur Sassusitz? Oh, she's a gymnastics queen. She just relies too much on her splits. Lando Danks, serving it. LaCroix, serving it. Corey and Scotty H, not serving it. Aaron, serving big time. Douglas, who are you, Levison? Serving face.
Could I do Janders?
Sure.
Jander, you're serving Party City.
And Randy Blatt. Randy Blatt. Yes, much better. Definitely serving cunt. So thank you to all of our livecast fans, including our top livecast fans. And thank you for watching, listening. Until next week, we love you. We kiss you. Bye-bye. Cunty, cunty, cunty.